We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
For me, accountability is consequences and, you know, actions. If you're not doing right things on the ice, there needs repercussions, whether it's being benched or in the press box. If you're not playing winning hockey, and I think consistency is the other thing. I think at times you could see that we were a great team and other times we're too casual. That's something that has got to be instilled in us with the consistency. It's us in here in the room holding each other accountable if there's someone not playing the way they need to, and obviously needs to come from up top too. And that's something I don't think we had enough of this year.
Tage Thompson, very direct remarks on what the Sabres lack. Jeremy and Joe, good Thursday morning, 1 week from the draft. We're talking Sabres coaching search. Luke Korak joins us on the Wester Hotline as we talk about one of the potential candidates who spent time in St. Louis. Lou, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Thanks for taking some time.
Good morning, guys.
So you cover the Blues and have for NHL.com, the Blues in the NHL, and we're getting to know the idea, at least, of Craig Berube as a potential coach for the Sabres. So he won a Stanley Cup with the Blues as an interim coach, stayed for a little while. Tell us what we can know. What is there to know about Berube as a potential coach to lead the Sabres out of this purgatory of a drought that they're in?
Well, I think he's a candidate. As soon as he got fired here, to be honest with you, I thought he would be a candidate for any job that would open up. I've always respected him as a coach. He seems to get the players' attention. Players love playing for him. I mean, I remember the run that they went on in 2019, and it just seemed like every move that he made, every word that he said, it seemed to resonate in the room. Veterans seemed to really gravitate towards him. But I think one thing that always stood out to me about him is the way that he develops some of the younger guys that came through to that team and were able to grasp a concept of winning. And we're talking about guys like, you know, Robert Thomas at that time, Ivan Barbashev, Oscar Sundquist, some of the younger guys that were part of that group and just started pulling on the same rope. I think that's what it's all about. You want to get everybody on the same page. If you start getting some guys that want to play east-west and you got some guys that want to play north-south, it's just not going to work. He was always somebody that really brought a concept, brought a system, and got everybody to buy into it, and that was the result that the Blues got here. I wish I had an answer for you as to why that got stale. I know, you know, personnel does change. That tends to change things, and that tends to change you know, what that concept is supposed to be. But, you know, boy, I hate to use the terms, you know, that the voice, you know, they, you know, you start tuning somebody's voice out after hearing the same message all the time. But in this league, that seems like it happens quite a bit. I still to this day didn't agree with the fact that he got fired. But, you know, I'm not part of management here. But again, I do think that anybody that takes a chance on this guy, I think you're obviously getting a winner, and you're going to get somebody that's going to get results.
When they won the cup, Lou Korak on Twitter at lkorak10, you can follow him there. When they won the cup, we've heard a lot about and know a lot about how hot Binnington got. Right, the goaltending was incredible, but were there buttons he pushed once he came in as the interim, even all the way through the playoffs, that really, you know, helped along their chances of winning that year?
100%. I mean, you know, you had a coaching change mid-season. You know, those are never good things because obviously things weren't going as planned or as expected. They had a veteran team that year, and for whatever reason or not, Mike Yeo was there, and the results just weren't happening. He came in and immediately started holding people accountable and basically brought a system with him. You're going to check and you're going to be responsible on the other side of the puck. And if you're not, you're not going to play or you're going to be moved down the lineup. And sometimes sometimes tough words need to be said. Sometimes for players, the tough words need to be heard. And he's a very good communicator. I will say this. Players will appreciate the fact that he will call you into his office. He will talk to he'll talk to you on the ice. I mean, I've seen a number of times where he'll talk to individuals on the ice and basically tell you, this is what I need from you in order for you to be successful. Now, whether a player wanted to hear that or not, I think they always appreciated that from him. And he was never one that was going to shy away from that. And sometimes I think that, you know, that kind of philosophy tends to get lost, but not with him. That's just the kind of person that he is. And again, it brought immediate results. The team started grasping to what he wanted. And next thing you know, they just took off. And Jordan Binnington was part of that. I mean, he was a guy that brought in basically his own attitude, a different culture, if you want to call it, for a young goalie that was getting his feet wet in the NHL. And again, guys just started buying into what was going on at that time. They realized, hey, we got a good hockey team. Let's get going here. They went on a run, and the rest was history, if you want to call it that way. And, you know, he had a good run here. He really did. I mean, if you take COVID away, that team had a good chance of repeating. And somehow that got derailed by them. But any way you look at it, he brought a winning culture here, and I think he will do that anywhere that he goes.
And ultimately, you say COVID, like what else had it fall apart? Just time? I mean, sometimes that's what it is, right? Like relationships, especially in professional sports, they go well and then they just kind of end. So what brought about the end?
Yeah, it just, for whatever reason or not, again, it just got to a point where, you know, the same system, same philosophy, it just didn't work. And the Blues changed personnel. I mean, they lost a lot of their veteran guys. They started bringing in some of their younger players, and it takes a little bit of time. You know, it takes a little bit of time to incorporate some of these younger players into what was going on here. And when you lose guys like Petrangelo, you start losing guys like Riley. Tarasenko is gone now. Schwartz is gone. You trade Barbashev last year. These were important pieces that they had of guys that, you know, brought that winning culture here and bought into the things that Craig Berube was bringing with him. I think he kind of understood what was going on at the time when the move was made. Is it ever easy? No. But, you know, this is a guy that is a winning coach. He develops young players. He was coaching the team here when the Blues were affiliated with the Chicago Wolves at the time. And some of he got the best of some of those guys. He really did. Whether he did push the right buttons or not, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. The majority of the time it did work. And I think, you know, if he's a candidate for a job there with the Buffalo Sabres, I think there are players there that can grasp the concept of the things of the way that he likes to play. And again, he's going to want you to check, and he's going to want you to play the other side of the puck. And if you're able to do that, good things are going to happen. And we know guys like to produce offense. And when you're able to do the little things and do the right things, it's going to bring about all that other stuff. And it's going to make players happy eventually.
Luke Horak covers the Blues for NHL.com. Thanks, Lou.
You got it. Take care.
On Craig Berube as an idea for the Buffalo Sabres. Berube, Mike Sullivan. We've not gotten to the point where we've seen reports of who they might be interested in. We've all just kind of filled in some blanks based on what Kevin Adams gave us. And by giving us the NHL experience and being so determined that would be it, we were able to cross off the names of, you know, like 20 potential candidates. Yeah. Denver coach, Seth Appert, Michael Pekka.
Yeah.
Any of the college coaches,
yep.
Junior coaches. So there's only so many... There's only so many that you can really point to,
well, isn't
right?
Isn't that like, the joke? The NHL hires about 35
yeah,
different men to coach hockey
exactly,
teams.
Exactly.
Pretty much how it works.
And you don't reach back too far, right? So, like, it's probably someone that's coached somewhat recently. Like, they're not hiring Ken Hitchcock or something.
Wait a year. It might happen in a year. Who knows?
So, like, yeah, Lindy and, you know, Boudreau. Although Boudreau's older. Berube really does feel like he checks a lot of these boxes, and he just got fired, so he's been around. And if the problem was just the message got stale, listen, if that's the biggest problem, then usually those are the guys that get jobs pretty quickly.
I have a stat of the day, and it's going to lead to a fun little conversation.
Okay, your stat of the day is brought to you by Seneca Gaming in Irving, home of the biggest bingo payouts and slot machines with thousands won daily.
It's a baseball stat.
Okay.
But it's like I said, it's fun, and we'll have fun with this conversation for a few minutes. Do you know what it is for a pitcher to get a Maddux? Optostats.
A Maddux.
Maybe they've coined this, but there's a pitching line that's known as a Maddux.
So this is something that Greg Maddux did, I'm assuming?
Yes. Greg Maddux did this in 1995, and Tanner Houck of the Red Sox is the first pitcher to do it since Greg Maddux did it. It's called a Maddux by Optostats.
Does it have something to do with the time of the game?
Yes.
Okay, because I saw something about the how long that game took last night.
Yes. It is a 9-inning complete game shutout under 100 pitches in an hour 50 or less.
Okay, one more time. A 9-inning shutout.
Complete game shutout under 100 pitches in an hour 50 or less. A Maddux.
Just in and out.
Just you are
quick day at the office.
Unbelievably efficient, and you work fast and you dominate.
You get everyone out of there. It's everyone home on time.
Yeah.
No late night here.
So here's the conversation. Because we have an answer one of these we coined last year. How many players deserve their own named stat? Last year we had, remember the Josh Allen hat trick?
The Josh Allen hat trick.
Rushing touchdown, passing touchdown, interception. Yeah. The Josh Allen hat trick.
Yeah.
The Gordie Howe hat trick.
The Gordie Howe hat trick, right. Who, even though Gordie Howe only did that like two times ever.
Who deserves their own stat?
Yeah. Okay.
Like the Cy Young Award. Here's one. The Curry. 10 threes in a game should be called a Curry.
A Curry, absolutely.
Three strikes in a row is a turkey in bowling, right?
Yeah.
10 threes in a game is a Curry. Because the number of times he's done it versus, I think the only other, the closest to him is.
It's Clay. It's Clay, isn't it?
And I think Clay's done it five times and Curry's like 16.
Yeah.
10 or more threes in a game.
Yeah.
A Curry.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Or a Steph. Tweet him at
us. About 70 saves in a game? A Hasek. I'm assuming he's the only one that ever did that.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
NHL record for saves in a game?
Saves in a game?
I mean, what, 72 saves that night?
Somebody had 74 recently, I think. Especially the overtimes.
Devin Cooley had 50 saves the other night. Was he the fifth goalie in the Sabres organization?
Yeah.
That the Sharks weirdly traded for?
Text and tweet. An athlete and a stat line that deserves its own name.
Ron Tugnot has the NHL record with 70 saves. I guess that's just for the regular season.
All right.
So Hasek might have the record. The Allen hat trick is really good.
I love
is there a good receiver?
I love the Josh Allen hat trick. It's so great.
Four touchdowns in a game. The Gabe?
Yeah.
That's been done, though, before by others.
200 yards and four touchdowns?
200 yards and four touchdowns. The Gabe Davis.
How many times has that been done in the NFL history? He was the biggest in postseason history.
Has it been done in the regular season?
How many regular seasons have seen a four-touchdown, 200-yard game?
It can't be more than one or two, if it's even been done. And maybe it hasn't been done.
Yep.
What else in hockey could you do for this? Tage scored four in a period.
That's right. He could have had six if they kept playing him.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
He finished with five goals in that game.
That's Granato's Bilesma moment. If there ever was one, right?
Just yes.
The moment.
I can't believe they didn't play him. Double shift him in the third.
Get for the record.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. In a game. Yeah. What about working the other way? 10 in a game is the Comrie.
Oh, that's ouch.
He's off the team now,
ouch.
Right? He's fine. He's back home. He gave up 10 in a game.
He's not under contract, right?
He gave up 10 in a game. July 1st, I guess. He wouldn't be under contract.
Fair.
Yeah. What else would work for the Bills? Have they ever, did Terrence McGee, or what's the Nyheim Hines, two kick return touchdowns in a game?
Yeah.
The Hines? These, though, are a lot of ones that, like, have been done before. Although, I guess, even the Curry, like, as long as it's rare. And, like,
it's something that you, by your play style, you own it.
Yeah.
That's the Maddux. Yeah. That's the Josh Allen hat trick. Who else does what he does? Nobody.
No.
Plenty of quarterbacks would have run one and, or sorry, would have passed for one and throw an interception. But the number of times he has had a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown and an interception in the same game.
Yeah.
That's Sunday.
Yeah.
How many times do you think he'll do that next year? Eight?
No. How about the Marty Brodeur, a win where you have less than like 12 saves in a hockey game?
I like
because they never had shots.
I like that one. Yeah, good times. When we get back, boy, I'll tell you, the guests we get on this show, future Hall of Famer.
What?
Yeah, future Hall of Famer coming in studio.
Okay.
Yeah. Big one. Big guest. 803-0550, you can chat with us as well. 11 o'clock this morning, Brandon Bean speaks with the media. We'll carry it live during the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 10:30 on the Extra Point Show, an LSU guest to talk with Joe and Sal about Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers, Jaden Daniels. So plenty of draft coverage. We are a week away. Don't forget about our draft party. Join us. CFR future Hall of Famer that's coming in is going to come to our draft party. He better. Join us, 803-0550, and join us at the draft party as well.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's kind of his job to lead the search and come up with the right coach. As players, I think you control what you can control. Again, it's one of those things where you lean on past experiences and you take what you've learned and you move forward and you try and do your best with what you have, I think. And
Jeff Skinner from yesterday's locker cleanout. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. And joining us in studio is a future Hall of Famer, as promised.
Actually, we're not sure. We were just having this discussion outside, and someone suggested maybe there'll be a recall vote.
Yeah. You're in the... Which Hall of Fame is it? The...
Buffalo Broadcaster.
Oh, the I thought... Pro it was, Football okay. Hall of Fame.
I no. The... Yeah. But yeah, so they might actually recall me. So who knows?
Buffalo Broadcaster's Hall of Fame inductee, soon to be inductee.
By the way, I'm just telling you now.
Yeah.
I have plenty of time to write the speech. The hilarious part is we're supposed to do this in 2 minutes.
Oh,
and be
okay.
out on time. So what are the odds of that happening? But I am telling you now, I guarantee you're going to be in my speech for throwing a shoe at me.
Interesting, interesting. I noticed your
actually,
post.
He's going to be there to throw a shoe at me.
I actually am
going to
recreate it.
Yeah,
so recreate I'm going to get a table up front for him.
I just noticed that in your Facebook post, you posted at your own personal Facebook page.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of names mentioned here. Van Miller, John Murphy, Rick Azar, Stan Barron, Ed Kilgore. All the time you worked, there's JJL, BEN, Empire Sports, WGR. I saw you were interviewed by Tim Wenger of WBEN, and you referred to it as, of course, all the time at WGR. Because I thought that was really interesting, you know?
I just, thought, do you see what you're going to deal with?
How many years was it?
For the next 18 years, Joe?
Can I get a magazine subscription? Not a word.
Well, you know why? If I started talking about you, of course I would start crying.
Right.
And I didn't want all the tears to, you know, upset people.
Yeah.
So I conveniently left you out.
Fair, fair. Hey, I would have left me out. when's the ceremony? When's this all happening?
September 19th at Samuel's Grand Manor.
Okay. Very good.
So
very good.
What day of the week is that? Do you know?
Thursday.
Okay.
I actually had to check because the Yankees are on the West Coast. I had to make sure the Yankees are out of town.
You also had to make sure the ceremony ended early enough so you could go home and go to bed.
I'm hoping if they could get me on early so I could be out of there by like 10. Do you think that's impolite if I ask that?
It is a Thursday.
Okay.
It'll be Thursday night football, hopefully not a Bills game. Mm.
You know, someone did point out it's inside Bills season, so maybe instead of an acceptance speech, you and I just pick the Bills.
There you go. That's
you just come up on stage, come up on the dais and pick the Bills.
He's coming up with this idea.
True or false? Without pick the Bills, you might not be in that Hall of Fame.
You know, funny, but there's probably an element of truth to that.
No, of course, of course. Well, congratulations.
Out of 18 years of everything we did, don't you think you get asked about that more than anything else ever that ever happened in our show?
Yeah, probably. It's that and... I mean, like today, it's appropriate. Fruit. Inspiring Arizona.
Oh, the I saw Brayton. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it Raising
Arizona? It was Raising Arizona and
what about
Inspiring Edmonton. Mm. Yeah.
That and me not eating fruit.
Yeah. That too. That too.
I should probably walk up and do the speech with like a bowl of fruit.
Well, you're not on vacation. You're retired.
I'm just not doing this anymore.
Yeah, that's right. You're not doing this anymore. Mm. It's tough to get the big things happen when Howard's on vacation because your schedule is a little bit here and there, but we've got a Diggs trade.
Oof.
The Sabres fired a coach.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
since he's been here, they released everybody, like Morse and Hyde and Poyer.
Yeah. Well, I got to stop looking at my phone.
Well, I started thinking about this the other day, maybe yesterday or the day before, right after Granato got fired, and that's, you know, this last month, 2 months, has brought a lot more change than I expected it to. From the Bills and then the Sabres with this firing and Kevin Adams and the tone he took. You know, I don't know why I was expecting maybe this, like, stasis we were just going to live in for a while, and both organizations are going through major changes.
Yeah, I tell you what, the whole first the releases. I mean, it was surprising just because of the names, but honestly, guys, I'm sure you talked about it on the air. If you did the math, if you looked at the cap and the contracts and the age and the injuries, and you knew they had to get under the cap, you could pick out probably everybody they moved on that day. You could have probably picked them out and said, His contract, his cap saving, you would have known. I was a little surprised at Morse.
Me too.
I wasn't necessarily surprised about Trey or Poyer. I don't want to go through the whole list. Mm-hmm. Morse surprised me because he played very well. He only had 1 year left. And they're one of two teams last year, two, that had the same starting offensive line for every single game, which is really important. So that surprised me. But anyway, the Diggs trade floored me. Totally floored me. I mean, I was an unhappy camper. The Granato thing didn't really surprise me, right? I thought it's kind of a reverse, right? I thought, well, there's no way they can say to the fans, we're bringing this back. No way. So either Adams or Granato or a major earth-shaking roster moves had to happen. So the easiest thing to do is always just fire the coach. We love Granato. We loved him when he got the job and everything he said. And I liked a lot about what he did, but let's face it. The team went backwards this year and they weren't good enough and they should have been in the playoffs and their first period stunk and they weren't as good offensively. So it didn't surprise me. I was a little surprised when they sent out the email earlier in the week saying Granato's talking Friday. And I thought, well, I guess they could still fire him, but that's kind of odd. If the GM thought this was going to happen, why would you even put that out in end of season? Anyway, I'm rambling. Go ahead.
No. I
think they had no choice. I was saying to these guys before while we were in the break, I listened back to Kevin Adams. And I mean, the number of times, like multiple times, he said, I know exactly what I want. It's like he knew he was going to fire Granato, started thinking about the next guy. And I feel like there's one person he knows, and maybe there's already been a reach out to the agent or whoever represents this guy. It felt like he was very, very confident. I know who I want, and I'm going to get that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who it is, but it felt like he is exactly targeting one individual, and he knows who he's going after.
Yeah. Think it's Lindy?
I don't.
I've started to come off that idea, too. That
I don't.
I don't.
I get the positives to it. I like Lindy. I think he did a tremendous job, and there are some things that work out in terms of obviously his head coaching experience. Look, you want somebody to hold players accountable? That's not a problem with Lindy Ruff, right? At the end, felt like there were too many guys that were not fans of his approach inside the locker room. So he would definitely cover that. I think that's just, I don't know, there's something about, I just think it's an easy way out. No offense to Lindy.
Yeah.
And I just think it's better to go away from the past and go find somebody who has no ties to the organization.
I'm probably going to be bullish on them. Like, it's hard to predict that now because they haven't made their moves, but I was talking about it with Joe about betting that they get this coming year. I bet they get the most points they've had in the drought. I don't know if that means playoffs, but I bet they get over 91 because last year was a team that should have made the playoffs if they could have had saves.
This year's goaltending didn't. With last year's team?
Oh, it's 105-point
team. The playoffs.
Yeah, sure. And if Lukanen is the real deal and can just be a good guy, be a good goalie, I think they will regress, progress, whatever. I think they'll come off of this kind of year with some tweaks. And I'll be optimistic about next year being – because I think what people fear with the Sabres, I do for sure, is they are so inactive. And they never make changes that are clear to people that need to be made. And that's why the Granato move, I'm not going to say it was clear it needed to be made, even though locker clean-out makes it sound like it was clear it needed to be made. I just fell into this trap that they are just going to slow play it like they always do. Mm-hmm. And they decided to, it's not like it was early to make this move, but whatever. Adam's tone did a lot for me. I think he had the right tone, he had the right message, and if they go out and get Mike Sullivan or if they get Berube, sure. We just talked to a guy in St. Louis who said,
I like Berube.
Love him a lot.
I like that idea, yeah.
So they're all ideas that, to me, scream a little bit more credibility and a little bit more like you're a real team.
Yeah, because I think, and maybe this circles back to the Granato thing, not that you guys have ever lived with the Sabres, but sometimes they tend to be a little too, I don't know, patient. Let's keep it basic. Right. I don't think you could say Adams is back, Granato is back, and fellas, we're going to meet with the media and say, well, we got a lot of good young players. They're going to, you know, Tage will bounce back. Injuries were an issue. Cousins will be back, and we're going to wait for some of those young guys to develop. They'll add to the roster, and maybe we'll sign like a fourth line right winger and a sixth defenseman. That's just not good enough. You know, I think their goaltending's fine. I think their top four defense are fine if Samuelson could stay healthy. But they need more scoring. They need a better group of forwards. And you can't just say, well, don't worry, these guys will be okay, and we'll add someone from Rochester.
Goaltending's in a good space, not only because Lukanen had a good year. Levi's second in the AHL in save percentage.
Good.
Levi's been very good for
them. Good. Yeah. And he's playing all the time.
Yep.
And he's gonna he'll be in playoff games for them. So good. I think goaltending is set.
Buffalo Broadcasting Hall of Famer to be Howard Simon here. Last question, most important. Where do you land on the Utah/Salt Lake City team name? What do you want?
I honestly haven't even seen anything suggested. Are there names that are floating out there?
Bees is one because it's the Beehive State.
Like, yeah, but they had a minor league baseball team that was the Bees.
Sure.
You could steal that.
Swarm Bees.
Stingers.
Something.
That's the Beehive State?
Yeah, it's the Beehive State.
Utah? Shouldn't
it be something about, like, don't they have, like, iconic state parks and
they
rock
do.
Structures?
They
and,
do.
Like, it should be something related to the beauty of Utah, shouldn't it?
Yeah, Zion National Park, right, is one of them.
Yes, that's right.
Can I give you a name that's going to, it's kind of stupid, but this is how we used to name teams. What about the Arches? Arches National Park is in Utah.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
The Utah Arches?
Just, if you want to, think about the Jazz. A ridiculous name. The Jazz have uniforms that
the Utah Jazz.
That are the gradient of the desert.
Like
a cool uniform.
It is a cool uniform. So back
it's
in the day,
be something to that. I think
back in the day, your name used to be representative of what your city or area was, like the 49ers, or I'm thinking about other teams like the Brooklyn Dodgers, right? Like
Dodgers, because people used to dodge the fare on
right.
their trolleys.
Yeah. Right, you had names that are just like, oh, okay, that's germane to that area, and for Utah, if you want to go for something like that, you know, not like Seattle did with Kraken, no matter how bad you people want to pretend that Kraken exists
with
in
fish
Seattle.
Fish throwers,
right.
Is Salt Lake City a dry city?
Yes.
Could we work some kind of alcoholic nickname
you
into
can't,
it?
You can't order more than one drink.
Well,
you
that's perfect
You can
for
order
me.
One drink. You can't order a second.
Oh, that's all I ever have anyway. That'd be great for me.
That's the deal. I heard stories of this. The NBA All-Star Game was there last year, and like there was a lot of people.
What else is Utah?
No,
someone comes up to you and says Utah, this is word association. Well, what comes into your head?
Mountains.
Right. Olympians was mentioned by someone on their survey. I guess we talked about this the other day. They had it in 2002 in Salt Lake, and they're getting it back in 2032. And part of the reason the owner is kind of getting this done is they're going to play in the Jazz Arena for now.
Yeah.
And they expect, I guess, to get the Olympics, which means they're going to build a new arena for the Olympics that will become the new
NHL team
arena.
So the NHL's putting a team somewhere where they promise there will be a new arena for them.
Because they're getting it anyway because of the Olympics.
This has worked out, so that's fine.
So they might do the Olympians.
Gordon Monson of the Salt Lake Tribune suggested 50 names.
Wow. Okay.
That's a lot of
the Yeti one of them?
You ready to
wrap it? Utah Yeti.
I like the Yetis.
Oh, you can't like that.
Come on, it's silly.
It's horrible.
It's so bad.
Okay, ready?
The Ducks? No.
The Spectres?
No.
The Sliders?
Are these all Utah or Salt Lake?
Doesn't matter. In the case of some of these, he even points
they
to
Utah.
Alliteration, like the Salt Lake Spectres, the Salt Lake Sliders, the Salt Lake Shakers. Get it? Salt Shakers? The Slap Shots, get out of here.
That's
the Skinwalkers, he writes, which is shapeshifters. You know, the Isotopes. Get out of here.
Yes.
I like that.
I'm in.
I'm all for corny.
The Freeze, the Blizzard, the Chill. Get them all out of here.
Out.
The Icebreakers, the Black Diamonds, because of Utah's ski industry. Now, that's interesting.
Ooh,
I just don't think you're going to be able to do black diamonds because
they got a logo and color scheme.
Vegas couldn't do black knights because of the Black Hawks.
Yeah.
Okay, he says some of these he's kidding on. The Blade Runners, the Storm, the Spirits. The Pioneers.
Oh, Utah Pioneers.
That feels like one
that's
they could
okay.
do.
That's okay.
That
historical
feels like one
tie-in.
They could do.
Yeah. Saints, sure. Jacks, the Skateful Dead.
In. Totally in.
Third jersey. Skateful Dead, third jersey.
The Slashers, no. The Gladiators, the Racers, the Rockers, the Stonecutters, the Icemen, Miners, the Utah Miners.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
I thought that was more of a California thing. A
lot of potential there. I think that's
Miners, huh?
Yeah.
But that's close to the UTEP Miners. Texas El Paso was the Miners.
Oh, that's right. The other Miners, yeah.
Butchers, Plumbers, all right? We're out of the animal category. Okay. We were 27 in. Moose, Ice Dogs. Niagara St. Catharines have something to say about that. Oh. Salty Dogs.
Salty Dogs.
The Salt Lake Salty Dogs.
The Vultures.
Nah.
Scorpions, wolves, bighorns, porcupines, wood rats, goats, skunks, sandpipers. 34 species or allies of sandpiper has been observed in Utah.
Not the sandpipers, no.
Pipers? No.
Nah.
The lynx? No.
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 Rattlers, the condors.
No.
Those are more realistic than some of these other ones.
Salt Lake City Condors, not bad.
The con is more than skunks.
Of course.
No.
Salt Lake Skunks?
You always have to pass the test of what am I going to call you for short.
Condors.
Yeah. Also, remember, you can't name anything after a division because Gary Bettman won't have
of it. Utah Cinnamon Bears. It's a real animal in Utah.
What does a cinnamon bear look like?
It's a subspecies of a black bear, the cinnamon bears. Huh. The Sidewinders, it's been done. Coyotes, no. Cutthroats, stingers, stallions, raptors, no thanks.
No.
Magpies are all over northern Utah, the mags.
Oh, magpies.
No.
Newcastle has something to say about that. They're the magpies.
I don't think I heard. I don't like any of these.
I could come
That's
to.
50
I,
names.
I, come I, to I don't like any of them.
Including the Skateful Dead.
The Skateful Dead
Skateful
was pretty
Dead
good.
Is brilliant.
The Skateful Dead was
I
pretty
I wouldn't
good.
Make that a main nickname, but it's really funny.
Yeah. The Salt Lake Stag is still my favorite, and I didn't hear it on there.
Stag?
The Stags. It's a deer.
Fairfield University will have something to say about that.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I've got another one. Just posted. Axios.com. Readers pick potential names. Golden Eagles, Blizzard, and Yetis.
Yeah.
If it's Yetis, I'm just folding up. Yetis. Just fold up shop.
Yetis!
Some of you picked good names, but they already exist. Culture Jabs, Animals, Wolverines, Bison, Elk. Gila monsters. That's a shot fired at Arizona.
Arizona.
It was an arena.
Yeah, that's right.
So, cannonballs, slayers, sailors.
They had an AHL team, I guess, from 1995 to 2005, the Utah Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Can they do that though with an NBA team that's named Grizzlies?
It would be tough.
Yeah. But that was if they're ever gonna reach into, hey, this is a part of our hockey identity as a community. This is part of our history as a community for hockey. I mean, they would go with Grizzlies.
Tell me your kids wouldn't. Because there's an ECHL Utah Grizzlies
right now. Well, they would take the name. They would just take
the
name, right?
Name rights.
Yeah.
Tell me your kids wouldn't want Yeti shirts.
Oh, man,
they would love Yeti shirts.
Could the cooler company sue?
Oh,
Yeti.
Yeah,
Yeti coolers.
I don't know.
You can't name your team the Yeti.
Did they
trademark the name Yeti
for sports? The name of a company, Yeti.
But for all in, they can't no and everything they get it.
Isn't there a Yeti ride at Disney? There's a isn't there like a Yeti,
there is a Yeti
roller coaster or Everest. Something like that?
Everest is the roller coaster at Animal Kingdom. It's
they
very
use
good.
Yeti.
Yeah.
Okay. Just asking questions.
Maybe they become a sponsor of the team. There you go. It's easy.
The Utah Arsenal.
The Stingers. The Yacht Rock. The Archers.
The Yacht Rock?
The Yacht Rock is great.
The Utah Archers.
Yep. The Screaming Eagles, someone sent in, is a former soccer team of Salt Lake. The Screaming Eagles.
Okay. That's a little homage to their past sports history.
They're former teams. Saints, Rattlers, Warriors, Blaze, Freeze with three Zs. Golden Eagles, Grizzlies, the Stars with three Zs, Snow Bears, Lake Dream. Oh, no, it's just Salt Lake Dream. Eagles, Flash, Saints, Roller Bees. That must be roller hockey.
That's into a lot of names.
Warriors, Golden Spikers, Sting, Blitz with three Zs. What's with the three
What's
Zs?
What's with the multiple?
Outlaws, Lions, Predators.
Can't use Utes.
Nope.
David writes in, they should name the team for what Utah is most famous for, the Osmonds.
The popularity of the letter Z in Utah sports was likely inspired in part by an unusual nickname of the Utah Jazz NBA team, which relocated from New Orleans. Hmm.
Yes, and then they had a WNBA team named the Stars with two Zs.
Oh, did they?
That then moved to San Antonio and then moved to Vegas.
Yeah, they've had multiple. The Cats with three Zs, the Freeze, the Blitz, they like Zs, I guess.
Didn't three Zs represent you're falling asleep?
There's literally a subcategory of the Wikipedia page, list of professional sports teams. It's all teams with more than one Z in it. Pioneers.
I look forward to the instant trivia with that.
Yeah, this will be great. The Owls.
If it's the Yeti, what do I call them for short? The Yets?
The Yets.
Nah,
like
the
Yotes.
It's not happening.
Yets? Yotes?
From Yotes to Yets.
Yeah.
It's a good album title. From Yotes to Yets.
I like Yetis. But then again, like I said, I was all in with the fish throwers, and you laughed at me.
I mean, I didn't mind fish throwers.
Fish throwers for what? For Seattle?
It's better than Kraken.
What do they show every time Monday Night Football goes to Seattle? The fish market and people throwing fish.
Could have been the roasters.
Like Starbucks. Starbucks? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. What if you talk to people, if you say Utah, people think, what? I thought of the giant arch with the, orange and red rocks and all this.
Yeah.
It's beautiful out there. The Utah Zions. Ooh. I wonder if Zion Williamson would be unhappy with that.
Did that movie, 128 Hours or whatever, is that in Utah? About the guy that cut his arm off because he was trapped in rocks?
Oh,
was that, yeah. Was that in Utah? James Franco's in that.
I remember the movie.
Yeah.
Moab, Utah.
There you go.
The what Utah are we naming them now? We're naming them after that?
I don't know.
The One-Armers. This is
tough. I'm just asking if that happened in Utah.
That's that was the other one. The one national park that's kind of on the border of Utah and Arizona that I always wanted to go to that I haven't had a chance to yet is Antelope Canyon. Antelope Canyon
the
in
Utah
southern Utah.
Antelopes.
It looks insane.
Huh? The Utah antelopes.
All right, yeah. Call them the ants.
There you go.
Or the lopes.
I'm good. Antelopes is nice. Makes for a good logo.
Utah's state bird is the California gull. That's a problem to begin with.
The gull?
How little pride you have in your state if you pick an animal with another state's name as an official animal. That came in from the Great Blue Dini. I agree.
That's odd.
What about the Great Salt Lakers?
Homage to the Mormons.
None of these sound good. They can't have a team anymore.
We're going to be late. I have another $1 million question. Will they put pink in the uniform?
Oh my, it's not my fault.
They should put pink somewhere in there as an accent.
This is really good.
If you ever fly over Utah in the Great Salt Lake, it's pink.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Pink should be somewhere in the color.
Totally agree. I was playing the NHL video game the other day, and online you can create your own team stuff. And the other team we were playing had this pink uniform, and that was my immediate, that is exactly what Utah should do. Because they've got, the pink salt or whatever? The Himalayan salt?
No, I'm telling you, the Salt Lake turns pink.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a primary.
Oh, like the lake itself turns pink.
Yes, I've flown over Utah and looked down and been like, what on earth? That is a pink lake.
Okay, they should have pink then.
They should have some pink.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say pink, I don't mean a little tinge. I mean, that water is...
Oh, man, that's pink.
Wow. Yeah.
That's pink water.
It should be in their color somewhere. All right.
You totally missed a break.
Did we?
Who cares?
It's like time for
Luckily, you're here.
Show.
We can just blame you.
Josh cares. All right. Thanks. Congratulations again.
Thanks, fellas.
Yeah, congrats.
Right. Nice to see you guys.
All right, we're super late. Xeno Sports. That's about it.
We'll hear from Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, and Josh Allen, starting at 11.
Very good.
Sabres players are talking now, right?
Yes, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was asked about, would he be open to a long-term extension like a lot of the other guys, and he basically said, yes, he'd like to be here. That's a interesting contract to get worked out.
Yeah.
Here's 1 year of production as a goalie. Has he figured it all out? Lock him up.
Bring back the bridge deal.
I'm not
just for this one instance.
I'm not against it.
3 years?
3 years.
2 years.
Yeah. He's getting a big raise either way.
Yep.
All right. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up. They're going to talk with an LSU reporter on Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers. And at 11, Brandon Bean live from One Bills Drive as they meet with the media to talk about their draft strategy, offseason workouts, the Diggs trade, Josh Allen expected to speak, Sean McDermott expected to speak. So keep it locked all day. We'll see what's going on. One Bills Live, of course. We'll have plenty to say about that as well. Thanks for joining us. Back tomorrow here on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.